now, the rest of the story. Young boys were waiting. One of them whispered to his comrades as they crouched in the shadow of a building, "Who's got the eggs?" The voice piped up, "I got them." "You sure they're good and rotten?" They were good and rotten. Whatever they hit would smell so bad you couldn't stand to get near it. Their intended target was Mary Walker. Everybody in town knew her. She was a short, slender woman in her 30s, had moved there from New York a while back. Oh, yes, she was a freak. At least that's what just about everybody had decided. In 100 years more, she would be called a cross-dresser. But no way could she live that long, not if the young toughs on the streets of the nation's capital had anything to say about it, and they were still waiting, until one of them whispered urgently, "Here she comes." Indeed, here she came. From not many paces distant, one might have bet almost anything that Mary Walker was a man, and an impeccably well-dressed man at that. Trousers, of course, striped trousers during the day, plain black trousers in the evening, a man's jacket, a stiff wing collar, bow tie, even a top hat. A crusader? No. Even the crusaders shunned her. For although she was intrigued by feminist issues, such as women's suffrage, her insistence on dressing as a man eventually alienated even the most radical activists of the era. Public opposition to Mary's eccentricity reached far beyond the predictable ridicule. For while men and women of polite society merely scorned her, the police quite often arrested her for masquerading as a male, not to mention the boys throwing rotten eggs. Mary Walker fought back by writing books. Her first, entitled Hit, was a meandering autobiography. Her second and last was called Unmasked, or The Science of Immorality. The chapter on hermaphrodites drew particular attention, as it was naturally assumed such a condition was the foundation of her behavior. Few knew that Mary Walker had been married and divorced. Few realized that she taught school in New York City, that once she had worked at a newspaper there. Few drew close enough to become acquainted with the kind, compassionate soul mysteriously cloaked beneath her menacing attire. What was generally and rightly believed was that Mary Walker had received a physician's certificate from the Syracuse Medical College, that she had actually practiced medicine in Ohio and New York State, but few had any confidence at all in the skill or the integrity of female doctors, even fewer in that of those whose very gender seemed ambiguous. So Mary Walker edged her way along the boulevards of life, dodging taunts and jeers and rotten eggs, until February 1919, when alone and penniless, she died. Yet once upon a time, there was a woman who dressed, to say the least, severely, except for a solitary adornment of sorts that hung around her neck until the day she was laid to rest, a shiny something to remind her of a moment's dignity and of the incontrovertible axiom that nonconformity can undo almost anything. It was a token of her service in the American Civil War, her service as a Union Army surgeon during which she was captured and imprisoned by the Confederates, a trinket that gleamed beneath her wing collar, a freak's consolation. The Congressional Medal of Honor. Now you know the rest of the story.